This is Audible.
She astounds us. She amuses us. She is the one, the only, the venerable. Come on, give her a big welcome, Sylvia Brown. Come on, San Diego.
Oh, thank you, darling. Thank you, darling. It's such a joy to be here tonight, especially since I'm up against Seinfeld. I'll tell you about it. It's nothing, nothing, nothing. I had to laugh at what Deb said. She said, there's a really nice man running around taking pictures. Well, he's my husband. I don't know about the nice man part, but I mean, that's who he is. He's never taken any pictures of me before, so be kind to him. Tonight we're going to talk about cell memory. And we really were the forerunners in this study. And now everybody's coming out with it. And that's not saying that with meanness or anything, because I believe that when truth comes out all over the place, doesn't it? And it doesn't matter who it comes through, as long as it comes through with the name of God and righteousness and what's going to make people healthier. I never realized, even though I've been doing this for 47 years, 62 years as psychic, that the cells in your body have knowledge. Now, when I first heard that, I thought, ooh, that sounds creepy. I mean, all these things running around in your body, maybe talking to each other or whatever they're doing. But that they have sentient. Now, we do know that the mind is a control. It's the CEO of the whole body, isn't it? And I've always said, mind is the healer and mind is the killer, isn't it? They've always said so many years, tell me what you eat and I'll tell you what you are. Wouldn't that be something? But anyway, I've always said, tell me what you think and I will tell you what you are. There's a marvelous story that this man was, and it's documented, well documented, that he was walking around and he felt so bad. And he said, I felt depressed. I felt so heart sick. I felt sick in my heart. And he went to the doctor, and he went to the doctor, and he went to every doctor. All the doctors kept saying, your heart's fine. There's nothing wrong with your heart. And one day he got up, and he walked a few steps, and he fell down. And they found out that he had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, the same thing that Jacqueline Onassis died of. And he said he couldn't understand why he felt it here because it was through the body. But you see, what his cells were trying to tell him, because he was a very sensitive person, is listen to me, I'm trying to tell you something's wrong with your body. Now this doesn't always have to do with sickness, it also has to do with what has happened to us in our lives. Notice I say lives. When I was a young girl growing up in a Catholic, Jewish, Episcopalian, Lutheran household, I'm a theology thing walking around somewhere. There was nothing in any of these religions that lent itself to reincarnation. But as I began to do research over many years, not only do I know it is true, and proven that it's true, but I now also realize that God's a true equal opportunity employer. that we just don't have one chance to find, whether it's our Christ consciousness, which I happen to have or believe in, but whether it's Buddha or Mohammed or whatever. You see, when you get spiritual, none of those labels mean anything, really. It means if you're Baha'i or Baha'u'llah, it doesn't matter. We go up to the level in which we say, God is good. Because we're so afraid of living, and then we're afraid of dying, aren't we? So we're caught in between somewhere. In this cell memory, though, when he finally did go back, and he did get radiation, although he did all the alternatives with it, he kept talking to his heart. He said, calm down. You will live. The rest of my body will live. And he began talking to his lymphatic system. And when they were doing the radiation on him, they said, we don't understand why you have to take so little to get better. Most people have to be blasted. But they said to him, you absorb so well. And he beat it. Well, then he began to go on this marvelous research as we have. And they found out that this young girl who was about maybe 10 years old had had a transplant from a young female who had been stabbed in the lung. But the heart had not been hurt, but she had died. And the girl got, the 10-year-old girl got the heart from this young female. She had a marvelous recovery, but about 2 months after she had gotten the heart, she began to have these horrible, terrible nightmares. And she began to describe somebody coming out of the shadows that's stabbing her and stabbing her. And everybody said, what in God's name is going on? Now here's what was so interesting, and everybody went, oh, and we didn't go, oh, because we said, it is a cell memory. She got to the point that in her dreams, the cell memory was coming so strong from, let's call it the heart. It could have been the spleen. It could have been anything. She actually could see the man, identified him, told the police where to go get him, and he was convicted. People have said to me, be careful of telling that story. People won't want a transplant. Oh, please. We have one of my ministers up in the north who works in the hospital. He was with another person that had a kidney transplant. A beautiful older woman. I don't know if I like that word anymore, do you? I'm getting to the point I don't like it. Mature. Who had a kidney transplant, never smoked, never drank, came out of the kidney transplant about a week later and said, give me a beer and I want a cigarette. Be nice for some women that were frigid, though, don't you think, if there were certain parts? Or men, depending on what side of the bed you're on. But you see, in God's tremendous knowledge, he gave us all this wonderful memory in our body. But we always thought, and even notice this with doctors, they cut us off from the neck down, don't they? It's like this has nothing to do with the rest of the body, unless you get a brain tumor. They look at the rest of the body, and very few times, unless you have a neck injury, do they ever want to do an MRI. You say, well, I'm depressed. Well, you're depressed because this, that, and the other. Forget about what might be going on here. And they treat us from here. And then, of course, God loved doctors, because I work with 97 of them that are wonderful, and there's a lot of good ones. But if they can't figure out what's wrong with you, then you have to be crazy. Because, God forbid, they can't be. See, I don't have that fallback position. You know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That's it. I stand alone. I've said to doctors, if you're wrong, you've got a catch-all. See, I believe that anybody who says to me that they have a pain, they have a pain. Thelma Moss did a beautiful, out of UCLA, I don't know how many of you remember you, Thelma Moss, who did the Curlian photography. The men that were coming back from the wars, when they had their arms and legs cut off, they kept saying, I have a pain in this arm. They said, don't be ridiculous, you don't have an arm. They did a Curlian on these men, and they found out that there was a sparkly outline of the arm and the hand. You don't tell me that that spirit soul doesn't carry that. Of course it does. The mind still says, the soul mind says, you came in with a total, complete body. Doesn't matter what the vehicle has, you can have a rusted outside, but the transmission is still working. And as long as we are in this vehicle, we had better make sure that it runs right. Because I've always said you can pray on a full stomach just as well as an empty one, and sometimes even better, can't you? Because I don't think God meant for us to suffer. Now, I've done both, as most of us have. But I'll tell you one thing, I'll take physical pain over mental any day, won't you? When I lost, and I did, I lost 9 people within 3 months. People said, how did you survive that? I don't know. I just got up and walked around, I think. And I went to the doctor, and I was sitting there for my annual checkup, and he said, you know, you're really depressed. It's funny to talk about it now. It wasn't then. Because I lost my mother, my father, my best friend, my daughter-in-law's brother who was only 29. It was just, you know, I kept saying to my staff, let's put lamb's blood over the door. I mean, it got to be crazy. He said, well, you're depressed, so I think I should give you something. I said, depressed? I'm in grief. What are you going to give me for grief? And when you give me something for grief, if you should give me something, what happens when that wears off? Now, I'm not talking about something that is chronic or clinical depression or bipolarism. That's a different thing entirely, but we have to face the things in life, don't we? We can't just numb ourselves to everything. And I don't think there's anything worse than grief of the loss, and especially the loss of a child or spouse or parents, depending on who you love. And then you always get people who tell you, well, it's been 3 months, are you over it yet? What kind of barbaric thing is that? If you grieve for your whole life, that's all right. But it's funny, you know, and I have people say this to me that come to my reading room, and they'll say, they start crying or whatever, and they'll say, I'm so sorry I'm crying. Isn't this a sad society when we can't cry? Isn't this sad? And the other night I was in a restaurant, and people were laughing, and somebody in the next booth said, keep it down over there. I said, well, now we can't laugh, and now we can't cry, so we just are robots, that's all. And they were mean as hell sitting there griping, and they're mad at the other ones because they're laughing. It's jealousy. That was the night I told the group, where was I? San Francisco. That I was in Lyons, and somebody walked up to me and said, what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm hungry, I guess. I have to be somewhere. I get that all the time. I'm in the airport. What are you doing here? I don't know. I came down off this really strange white cliff that had crystals, and I just came down. With bat wings, and I don't know. I've always said, I'm going to write a book about what things people say to me. So a man walked in one day and he said, I don't know what I expected, but you're not it. Now, I don't care how psychic you are, you don't know where to go with that one. There's nowhere to go with that one. If you're having problems with your heart, you may ask yourself tonight, who broke it? You can say to me all you want, it runs in my family. But you see, that's also a programming. And God love you doctors. But here's what happens. A woman goes in and she tells the doctor that her mother and her sister died of breast cancer. Right away, the doctor's eyebrows shoot up and starts programming the woman into the fact that she's a 70 or 85% candidate for breast cancer. Do you know what that is? That's a negative implant. Now, when this happens, you go for your mammograms, but tell the doctor you were adopted. Because if you don't, you constantly get those stupid red letter cards in the mail. I've seen women come into my office hysterical. Did you get your mammogram? Did you get your cone down? Yes, but the doctor scared me. Forget that. Unplug that. You see, we're taught now to not find anything wrong with anybody. We want to find something wrong with you. Guess why? That's money. Even my doctor said to me, I have something to tell you. And I thought, oh, here we go with this. He said, you have absolutely nothing wrong with you. And he's upset. I said, well, I'll come back next year. Maybe we'll try again. Certainly we're going to get older. That's a fact of life. And I used to think, you know, I said, I was going to talk to God about the fact of why in the hell do we get older? Why don't we just live to be, well, like somewhere around 30 and then in stay that way, you know what I mean? And then at 75 or 80 or whatever we are, we just drop off. And you know what my spirit guide said to me? I do hear, which of course sent me to the doctor when I was younger. And you all hear your guide. Don't tell me you don't. It's that voice inside and you feel it. And I said, why do we have to get old? She said, because if you didn't get old, you wouldn't maybe be ready to go. Now that I'm 62, I understand that so much more than I did at 30. Because you really do get tired, don't you? Because I've always believed this is really a lousy camping trip, don't you think? We got bad bears running around. We got nasty people we live with. We got bugs and dirt and everything. Bad water that we have to carry most of the time. People say, what about the millennium? You know, I think if I hear that word one more time, I'm going to just drop over in a fury. Do you know in the year 1000, everybody ran out in the street? Do you know that the year 2000 hit 4.5 years ago? You were too late. You can't run out in the street. Do you know what our Lord said twice? No man can predict the end. I remember, though, it was very stunning to me because sometimes a question will bring about an answer. Montel was asking me, so what happens in the year 2020 and all this? And so I was going through my thing and this would happen. And then he said, but what about the year 2100? And I couldn't see anything. It all went dark. Now, I want you to all go home and worry about what's going to happen in 100. And people say, but oh, the world, what are we going to do about it? You see, on the other side, it's perfectly the same. Except it doesn't have cigarette butts and beer cans in the stream. We have the Rocky Mountains, we have the Indian Ocean, we have the Atlantic, we have all the beautiful things. But it's not all screwed up. I think Plato said it better than anybody. He said, we're nothing but the shadows on the wall of the cave. I have truly talked to, this sounds crazy, and really talked to him, not like some people who think they do, not mentioning any names, talk to more people on the other side than here. And of course there's animals over there. For God's sake, if there weren't animals over there, I wouldn't want to go. People are always saying, how come animals aren't there? They are there. Wouldn't you rather see some animals than you would some people, for God's sake? And I used to worry, you know, that we know that there are dark entities, not skin, in here. We know that there are dark entities. We don't have to worry about a Satan. We work with them. We live with them. We can marry them. We can have this. We can even have them as children. How about that? You know how we always say in our mind, where did they come from? But that's the test. And see, in their own wonderful way, maybe they are. My mother was such a nightmare. People say, how can you talk about your mother like that? Because she was. And I used to worry with that when I was a kid, because, you know, you hear, honor thy father and thy mother. My guide said, yes, if they're honorable. See, they don't get to go to the other side. You know what they do? They go horseshoe. They go right back in. My mother's in Ethiopia. Now, in about 10 years, we're going to hear about an uprising. And it's going to be my mother. And you'll say, I know that's Sylvia's mother. She told us. That's another thing. You know, with the cell memory, stop with this abuse thing, will you? I was an abused kid. My mother tried to burn my foot off when I was 3. People go, oh. No, it was all right. I mean, I got over it. It's still there. But the thing about it is, people, I have a friend, God love her, in L.A. And everybody that's mean or hateful, she says to me in this conspiratorial term, you know they were abused. I said, I know, and I want to abuse them now. You see, I'm the way I am because I'm abused. Get over it. We're tired of it, aren't we? Sick of hearing about it. Of course you were abused as a child, maybe sexually, mentally, or whatever. We feel sorry, it's sad, but you wrote the damn thing. Now get over it. You wrote it in. You say, I couldn't possibly have written that in for myself. I would rather blame God for that. No, you don't. You were the dummy that wrote it in. Because you see, we're in a perfect environment, so we sit down and say, oh, I'll take 4 of those. What I always said, what was I thinking when I said, I'll take that body? Where was I? With the hips and the legs and all. What is that about? I was doing something. I said, are there drugs over there? Are they drinking? I checked all those boxes. I just said, okay, give me 4 of those. And we had a woman in our group. We're called Gnostic Christians, by the way, which means we seek after our own truth. Within the guidelines of the reality of do not hurt anyone, be kind to everyone. And she kept running around saying, he broke my heart, he broke my heart. And I said, Ellen, you better quit saying that. I'm telling you, stop. About 6 months later, she went in for a bypass. Think about your back. I was talking to the marvelous sponsor, you know, back in the back here of the Learning Annex. And I said, you know, I'm going to talk to God again, too, about the fact of what the hell's wrong with backs and knees. Maybe if we'd have been on all 4s. But nevertheless, think about how many people you carry on your back. Think about how many people are a pain in your neck. You know, I've really tested this. A woman came in one day and I said to her, who's a pain in your neck? She said, my husband. I didn't say what. I said, who, dear? She said, oh. I went back to Kansas City and I saw this doctor that literally at one point in my life saved my life. I was about 24, I guess. And I said, Jim, what in God's name? I went to the hospital and I said, what in God's name is wrong with you? He said, Sylvia, I just can't stomach life anymore. Do you see how we literally... And you go blind, it's because you've seen too much or you don't want to see anymore. Say to those cells, I'm not going to have glaucoma. I'm not going to have macular degeneration. You're going to listen to the CEO here. The same as you would with a staff or a group of people. You're going to get in line and you're going to start marching right. Sure, you can do all the right things. Now we're worried about cholesterol, aren't we? It used to be that it was all... We women had to have was hysterectomies. Do you remember that? That was a new fad. And some of us old enough, we had to have our tonsils and adenoids out, whether we needed it or not, and then we all got strep throat. It's not that I don't want you to have your cholesterol. You've got to eat. But now you see what we're doing is we took everybody off protein and we got big fat people because we're all eating starches and sweets. We don't eat protein anymore, but there's a lot of protein besides. And I keep saying to my people, I've never seen such a group of people in my life in the last 7 years that not only have low blood sugar, but they have terrible depression. You know why? We're eating nothing but sugar. People say, well, I can't eat any flesh. Do you know plants scream when you cut them? Then eat rocks. You'll stay full a long time. Who are you carrying on your back? Who's the pain in your neck? Where don't you want to run to? How far have you run that you don't want to? Do you notice in families that only one person goes deaf? And I hate to pick on you men, but it's always you. You know what they say to you? Oh, I heard everything you said. I'm just thinking about something else. As you have this bullhorn at their head. My husband always says, it's the background noise. What background noise? The only background noise is me talking. But then you've got to realize, you know, it's a strange thing too, because you will see how many, many men will be helping this woman around. And she's like this, right? And he's helping her. 3 years after that, you see it, and he's like this, and she's strong again. You ever notice that? Now we have Viagra. And I got to tell you something, I'm going to speak for the women. Some of us are happy and some of us aren't. You know this, come here, honey. Oh, yeah, right. I got something for you. Unless it's a diamond, don't talk to me. Don't. Got something for me. Think about if you're arthritic. You never find anybody that has arthritis that was a slug personality. Never. Every arthritic personality was a doer. Every arthritic person was someone who liked to do many things. And guess what? Their body couldn't hold up under the energy. Have you ever seen a hose when you squeeze it off? It bulges. And so we know for a fact that if you move your body, you're going to feel better. People say, I don't want to move it. It hurts. Of course it does, because now your mind thinks your body's dead. And God love you men. You sit around too much in that chair, you're going to die there. Your mind shuts off. He hasn't moved now for 7 hours. He's dead. My grandmother used to say, if you're sick, get up and walk. I lived by that. If I have ever, the few times I've had to go to the hospital, they think I'm really crazy, but see, I can get by with it because I'm psychic. They think it's a ritual. I lie on the top of the blankets. I won't get the sheets. See, because to me, in my mind, if I lie on the top, it means I'm really not sick. If I go under the sheets, I'm sick. So I heard the nurses out in the thing, I had a little minor something done. She said, she won't get under the covers. She said, shh, she's psychic. But if you act sick, and you look sick, and you want to look tired, then you will be. You say, but Sylvia, I am sick. I know you're sick. I've been sick. But at least try to act like, because see, your mind will respond. I know that we have crazy things, and I was the first one that brought it out. I believe in chronic fatigue. I believe in candida. I believe in lupus. I do believe in all those things. But even with that, we found that even with exercise, you say, how can I exercise when I feel like dirt? Because if you get up and move, you will feel better. You've got to move. And the people that can't move, you know what's so marvelous is that we have people that are disabled. They're not disabled. They really are physically challenged. But don't you see, those are the souls that came into life to really perfect. You're not going to find a little bitty soul coming into life, a little minimal soul that's going to come in without sight or hearing or legs or whatever, that's a little bitty immature soul. You're going to find a giant soul that does that. But then that's when we see these people that have what we call physically challenged, they put many of us to shame. We get an earache and say, ow, you know, and we're in bed for a month. God love her. I have somebody that I know very well, didn't come to work for a week. See, that's bad to do when you're working for a psychic. Bad. Not the week, but telling me you're sick. No. She threw up one day and had, you know, a little bit, you know, and said she was too weak to, for a week. Notice how much, too, we programmed ourselves. Notice that what the doctor tells us, you will have a 24-hour flu. You notice how we watch? Let's see, when did I first throw up? It was 8 o'clock. It's 7:45. In 15 minutes, I will be well. And you are. You're well. Doesn't that show you something? Say to yourself, so I've got the flu. I'm going to have it for 22 minutes or whatever you want to have it for. I had a doctor say, oh, you know, this flu that's going around, because I did catch it. First flu I've had in ages. He said, oh, you know, this is a 44-day flu. 44-day flu. I had it for 2 days. And that's just because I wanted an excuse to go, you know, for a while. It's nice to have a pity party, isn't it? Once in a while. Oh, you bet. 2 days. I've never been well, people say, since I got married. Then get out of the marriage. How stupid is that? Don't you believe people can make you sick? Terrible sick. Terribly sick. We keep going with these people. Say, I just love her to death. But every time I see her or him, they drain me to pieces. Don't see them anymore. Oh, but here's another one. It's my karma. Karma, as if God said, stamp karma, stamp karma, stamp. You got a bad karma. But what will they do if I leave them? Find another sucker. Audit yourself. See how you feel when you're in certain places. See how you feel when you go into certain buildings or you're around certain people. You know how psychic you are? I'll show you how psychic you are. You can go in the most beautiful house in the world and say to yourself, I don't know what's wrong with this place, but I don't like it. You don't know why you don't like it, but something's wrong with the energy that doesn't fit with yours. Don't stay there. And then you know what comes out of that? Then people start having anxiety attacks because they're afraid they're going to feel like that everywhere. What about when you get in the car with a friend or somebody, or let's say your husband or your wife comes in the door and you say, what's wrong? They haven't done anything. You say to yourself, it's because of the look on their face. No, it's because the energy preceded them. You feel it. And you let all that stuff come in, and it centers in your cells. And it's amazing. If anything shows you that God's alive and well, is that we even exist past the age of 2 with the stuff we put up with the negativity. And don't ever think that you can't be. Not destroyed, but ill by negativity. Constantly, constantly being in a workplace where people are mean and hateful and nasty to you. It drains you. People say, well, what will I do? I maybe can't find another job. Stay there and die, and then you won't worry about it. How great is that? And if you really believe in your heart, and this is so true, there's not many truisms that God will take care of you, God does. And that doesn't mean you just sit in front of the door waiting for somebody. I have clients who said, I never get out of the house and I haven't met the guy yet. Well, I'm sorry I didn't send him over, but could you go out on the porch? Or look through a window? You have to activate a little bit. And we can be behind in our time. I don't mean psychically. I've been as much as 5 years behind myself. It's because, and then what we do is we race to catch up to ourselves. You ever notice how many times we've said, I should have done this 5 years ago or 4 years ago? But in many ways, don't say that because that's a negative. People, women basically, more than men, I have to say it about us. We always say this, I gave him the best years of my life. You know what he's saying, God help somebody else. No, you didn't. You learned patience. Maybe you learned tolerance. No years are wasted. But you see, Sylvia, I didn't get to do what I wanted to do. Well, what'd you want to do? Well, I wanted to be a nun. Well, you had 4 kids. How are you going to work that? Or you say, my whole life is a waste. And that's a negative, too. Because you see, it's not just those of us that are up in front of people or their lights are in or out somewhere. It's those of you that toil away in your corners. And maybe they're dark and maybe they're light. But don't you know how much your lights are in God's house? You have big lights. You mothers out there, you fathers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, whoever. You have lights in God's house. I want to be the voice for you, not for Sylvia. I'm concerned about your life toiling and that nobody gives you any kudos for that. That's sad because I've been there. I know what's in your heart. I know how good you are and how good you've always hoped to be. People say, no. I've done terrible things. Did you mean to do terrible things? No, you didn't. No, you didn't, because if you meant to do terrible things, you wouldn't be here tonight. No. You see, after the fact, we can always say it's a terrible thing, but we didn't have a terrible thing in our mind. And quit thinking that God judges you. You judge you. The minute you start getting this mean, hateful, nasty God, you're going to make yourself sick. God can't be both things. God's either all loving, all good, all omnipotent, and perfect. But you know what we do? But God's cranky. God is cranky. God is mean. God is tired of me. I've talked to God 4 times a day, and God's fed up. What? If God's all perfect, it can't be so. You can bombard the heavens with talk. And people are so afraid, they say, oh, God, I said shit and damn, as if God said, uh-uh, mm-mm. There it is. Do you know when I was a child and I was growing up in Catholic school, you remember, I don't know how many of you heard this, but even if you thought a bad thought, it was a sin. So in 3rd grade, I'm walking by this clothesline, and I see underpants hanging on the clothesline. Now I say to myself, underpants goes on a bottom. Oh my God, that's a dirty thought. Bottoms are dirty, right? They always were. Naughty parts, your mother said. I worked myself up into such a frenzy. God loved my father. Walked in one day and said to me, and my mother said, oh, Sylvia's losing her mind again, you know, seeing spooks and stuff and all that. Thank God I had my grandmother and my dad. My dad came in and he said, what's wrong? I said, Daddy, I keep having dirty thoughts. He said, about what? I said, underpants. Can you imagine? But to me, it was a big deal. He said, think of all the dirty thoughts you want and then be done with it. Isn't that the truth? And you know, I never thought about anything again. It's just if I said to you, do not ever think of a pink elephant again, what would you do? Pink elephant, pink elephant, pink elephant, pink elephant. because we're so, and we keep going over, don't we? We don't go over the happy things. So many of us go over the horrible things, the embarrassing things, the things that we wish we could have cut our tongue off, but we didn't have malice aforethought. Now, what about your cell memory if you keep all this stuff inside of yourself? People say you have to forgive. Do you know how many of us don't? And if you really do forgive somebody that really harms or kills your child or whatever, what's the matter with you? There are things sometimes that are too big. You've got to give it to God to forgive, don't you? Why be a hypocrite and say you forgive? Now, if you forgive, and that's fine, but so many people say they forgive, and then inside you can hear, no, I haven't. I wish they were dead. That will kill you. The guilt and the worrying about whether you've forgiven. What you ought to start with is forgive yourself. Allow yourself to be human. But see, in our generation, now we've carried it too far. We're getting too, not human, we're getting too, what is it? Not even primitive. We're getting like animals. We're blowing each other away. Kids are blowing each other away. You know why? Because there is no spiritual love there. We got to have the spiritual love, not just the religionistic part, but spiritual love. See, that carries with it much more of a blanket of warmth than that heavy yoke of guilt. We see that it hasn't worked. If we take Fen-Phen off the market because it hurts our lungs and everything, why don't we take guilt and all the other stuff off? But we belie the fact that children, see, we can be very functional as parents. Here's your food. Look what I've done for them. I've given them food, clothing, shelter, and I've given them the best car to drive and all the money they want. Give that up. What about you? Did you give you to them? Did you give them what you were about? I don't care if they roll their eyes and say, you were at a different time. Someday they'll wake up and realize that there's no time that's any different. You know, it's like the old poem that I thought my father was so stupid. And then I got to be 22 and realized how smart he was. And my grandmother used to say to me, and she was truly the greatest woman, one of the greatest women I've ever known. She used to say, Sylvia, within your weakness, there lies your strength sleeping. Within your weakness, there lies your strength sleeping. Do you know how many times I pulled up those words and said, out of my weakness, I will find some strength. I'll find some reason for this. I might not know what it is now, but I'm going to beat my way through it. When I get to the end, I'm going to say, I'm proud of me. You know, I heard the saddest thing. It's just haunted me. Because I think Billy Graham is a wonderful man. I think he's just wonderful. And he was doing an interview. One of the true evangelists that there has been no smut about. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of whether you believe in his thing or not, doesn't make any difference. The man himself. And he was in this interview, and the interviewer said, well, after all, you know, you're getting old, you're getting ready to cross over. What do you hope will happen? He said, I want so much for our Lord to meet me. Some of you might have seen this. And say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. But he said, I don't think he will. I wanted to sit down and write him, call him, do something, and say, of course he will. Why do you think that you're not worthy? Why do we think, people will say to me on the phone, I don't want you to think I'm crazy, as if I would, right? But I saw an angel, I saw Jesus, I saw Mary, I saw, what? Of course you can. Why do you feel that they're so high? Why do you feel that they're so above you? That's that nice guy running around that can't hear. What? 17 years younger than me, I'm telling you, he's not old enough. said to me, I said, I'm going to trade you in for 220s. He said, you're not wired for 220s. I said, oh, yeah, I am. But anyway, talk to your cells. Tell them. You are going to shape up. You're going to do what I tell you to do. And like my spirit guide always said, don't be so in the body. Be above the body. You don't want to be so centered in the body. You're too earthbound in your body. You're too centered in this. I have this other friend who every little ding, every little nick, what's that pain there? What's this pain here? Do you know that if I did that, I would be in the hospital? Don't you know? How about getting up in the morning? Is that? Well, you younger ones, forget it. Just listen to us. Do you remember we mature ones, how we bounded out of bed? Now you scoot. And what about that first step? Is that a... That's what hell's about. You want to know that? I said to my husband the other day, what is wrong with my feet when you walk? Your weight, probably. No, he didn't say that. I would have killed him. I would have killed him. Because, see, the good thing about getting heavier is you have no wrinkles. Did you ever notice that? No. You just get chubbier and chubbier, and the wrinkles go out. I figured that a long time ago, except I don't know what the rest of this is doing down here. That scares me to death. I've talked to that cell for a long time. And those cells say, screw you, I'm dropping. I don't care what you say. Did you ever notice that has a life of its own, those things? What is that? People say, I heard this one, I don't know what it was, a psychic or what. I'm afraid to say I'm psychic anymore. It's so bad. I'm going to say spiritual something, advisor, whatever. I'm going to use another thing. Said, put a bag over your head and stand in front of a full-length mirror and look at yourself. As if you wouldn't know who it was anyway. Now imagine standing there and having somebody come in the room with you with a bag on your head. Maybe it's to make you more objective. See, what I did, I left my head out and put a bag over my body. I felt so much better about it. That's another thing I think we should get together later and talk to God about gravity. What is with the gravity business? And you men, you know, God love you. You know, you talk about us dropping. Do we want to talk about the things that are dropping on you? I mean, they really are dropping. So you better get some cell memory going with that, too. I love these. Don't you love these women or men that walk around like this and they said, my wife's too fat. What? Porky. Or my husband's too fat. Well, sure, it's not good for health, but I love when men get heavy. He said, I've invested a lot in this. Yeah, you have. Do you ever wonder how those people, though, really get together? Do you know what I mean? Is it a seesaw? I mean, what is it? See, that's the kind of thoughts I have. Really, I do. I think about that, don't you? Oh, you see this great big guy and this little bitty girl about this big thing. I think it's part of a physics thing that I'm thinking out. You know, the physical way, the physics. The molecular structure of things, that's what it is. See, when my dad told me I could think about all those three, I do now. See, I gave me permission to do that. So I do it. Now, you see, the thing about it is, though, and this is something we have to address seriously, though, is it can be past lives. There's a lot of undiagnosed pains that come with past lives. Let's say you've never been near water, you don't like water, and every time you get near water, you freak. How do you know you didn't drown? How do you know at a certain age you could drive across a bridge and then all of a sudden you couldn't anymore at the age 27 or 30, whatever? Because at that exact time in a past life, you did go off a bridge. Notice when the cells kick in. Notice back when the anxiety started, the phobias started. You say, well, my earliest recollections, I was afraid of snakes or whatever, snails or puppy dogs or whatever. Look back and say to God, please let me dream this out, whatever I came in with. Forget the karmic stuff. I want to be released of that. Now, you might have a week of dreaming, but I promise you, you'll get rid of that. Because you see, a lot of us have lived, whether you believe that or not, in a time of Atlantis where there were tidal waves and everything. So guess what? All the Atlanteans are back, and now we're going to have the big meteor explosion. We're going to have tidal waves. No, we're not. No, we're not. And that idiot out of New York, I won't mention his name, GMS, who told everybody, well, you know, there was only one place to live, and I think it was Podunk, Idaho, that we'd be safe. Everything. The middle was going to drop out. The coasts were going to drop off. Sure, we're in a polar tilt. Yes, we have El Nino. Big deal. We have it every 20 years anyway. Yes, we're fed up with the rain. Yes, of course. They wanted me to go up in the north. They called me from, now you see how desperate they are. They called me from a news station to do the weather. Can you see me with the map? You know, and here we have, oh, I said, no, I don't think so. But of course, every 10,000 years we have a polar tilt. That's why when you go through Zion Canyon, a guide will say, you see, all this used to be underwater. That's why it has all the eddy rings in it. Well, how do you think it got underwater? Because land comes up and land goes down. Now, if Atlantis comes up, we'll all rush out, if we can beat the real estate agents, and get land, squatters' rights. People say, shut up. People say, I'll get off when I want. People say, yes, you see, this group will rush you, Larry, and just beat the tar out of you. I will in a minute. I'm very interested in talking to them right now. One time he did that, and this darling little gray-haired woman got up and just beat him with an umbrella. Said, shut up. See, he stands over there hidden. He's terrified. But every morning when you get up, surround yourself with the white light of the Holy Spirit. Do this. I don't care if you want to call it God, Christ consciousness, Mohammed, whatever. But put the white light. I like the Holy Spirit because it's God's love. And say, I don't want any negativity to come to me today, and I don't want to give out any negativity. And whatever has come to me from a past life, let it be resolved now. Let me dream it out. Let me get rid of it. Because all it's doing is hindering me. It's making me crippled inside, and all the guilt and all the abuse, let it be rinsed, because I want to live my life spiritually and unfettered. It's such a waste of time. See, life's not too short, it's too damn long to be dealing with all that. Now, when you are really in dire straits, as we all can be, and let's say there's a person who is very, very, not just even by words, sometimes words are the least of it, isn't it? But by viciously attacking you. There's nothing worse in this world, is there, than to be attacked, even by people of your own family. First of all, you can surround them with the white light of the Holy Spirit, but then get away from them. You see, we always try to convert inside dark entities. You can't convert them. You cannot. Say, well, I'll make them white inside. I'll make them whatever we want to do, saved. Or you can't save them. See, we're always so worried about a devil. Be worried about the people that you're near. Those are the ones that'll get you. I mean, we're always worried about this devil with horns and a red suit. Don't you wish that we knew that they would? That we'd say, there's one, and there's one. They got the red suit on. It comes in many forms, doesn't it? Evil does. Like I said, we can marry it, we can be born of it, we can give birth to it, we can whatever. But don't think that because, see, I bet you that everyone here tonight is either on their last life or close to it. Do you know why I know that for a fact? Not only psychically, can you imagine me going, oh, I'm going to be psychic with everybody in this room. My head would blow off. But anyway, is it because people on their last life, we're Gnostics, we're seeking after truth. And it doesn't matter whether it was me or whoever it is, I want you to go out and read and check and find and know what a unique part of God you are. But you're really on your last time. And we come into life with our themes. And we did pick our sicknesses and our illnesses, but we don't have to keep them. See, people say, well, if your chart's already written, then what use is it? See, that's too fatalistic. The thing about it is, what you do is you modify it. You say, all right, I was supposed to maybe, I wrote that I was going to have an accident. But you can have a fender bender instead of a full-scale head-on collision. Like I said, have a 10-minute flu. People say, there was a woman that came to me the other day and said, you know, the doctor told me, Sylvia, I had lupus, and I probably had 22 years to live. I said, what? That's the diagnosis now? Great, I'll get lupus. 22 years to live. Well, of course, depending on how old you are. But we always say, too, gee, they got sick and died before their time. How do you know what their time was? You know what we talk about? Our time. And then we say, but they were so young when they died. Because, you see, we have a certain amount of lives and a certain amount of time to live. And when that time's up, we go. The problem is we're left down here in this lousy camping trip, and they're having a great time. This woman asked me the other day because I got a hold of her husband who had passed over. And she said, after many, many other things we talked about, and I was talking about how happy he was, which they all are. I mean, you don't have to be psychic to figure that out. She said, well, now I'm really ticked off. I'm suffering and he's happy. Is he with anybody? You know what I wanted to say. And when you come over, boys are going to be a fight. No, but you know, people worry about stuff like that. Woman would say, well, I've been married to two husbands, and now when I get over there, what are they going to do? Beat the hell out of each other? I don't know. Or you? No. It's not like that. We all love each other. It's all the kindred souls come together. But we always say, it's we who have missed out, isn't it? Because we miss the person. People say, but my child or whoever died, and that's the most heart-wrenching thing of all. But what? We wanted to grow up and have our life? Come on. Has it been that fun? Raise your hands if you've had just a perfect, wonderful life. And we'll see if you're an alien. There. Oh, well, sure. Look, the two-year-old. She always will have, though. She always will have. But you ought to get her into some art classes. Can't help it. It's just part of the thing. The love of my God inside of me is unique from the love of your God inside of you, because we're all different sparks of the divine, aren't we? But we all make up the conglomerate of God. See, that's where religion, I think, fails so many. It's because religion tried to put us all in a pot and stirred us up and said, if you eat meat on Friday and you die Saturday, you'll go to hell. And then when it was okay to eat meat on Friday, what did we tell the people? It's okay now. Come on. Worries you a lot. You have the answers. You just have to search your soul. You say this to yourself. Haven't I really tried to live a good life? Yes. Have I done things probably that I shouldn't have done? Of course you have. We all have. If you were perfect, you wouldn't be here. Somebody said to me the other day, Sylvia, you're so spiritual. I said, I can't be that damn spiritual. I'm still living. We are on our last life, like I said, or you wouldn't be here. And you probably, most of us in this room, have had a hell of a life. We've probably been through, because it's the last life, we've been through rejection and isolation and all those other things and physical disabilities. And then we're afraid, a lot of people are, of annihilation, and then I'll die and there will be nothing left. Yes, there will. There isn't one drop of sweat that you've dropped, not one tear that you have shed that hasn't gone in to the jewel box of God. Not one cry out in pain has been lost. Not one good deed. And that's another thing. Why do we have to keep explaining to God what we're doing? Do you ever notice that? As if God's not going to hear us. People say, do you pray a lot? I say, my life, I hope, is a prayer. I worry about people who sit cross-legged for 3 hours. Why don't they get up with their dead ass and go do something? Instead of chanting peanut butter or whatever the hell they're chanting. Go help the elderly. Go out and help kids. Oh, but I'm centering myself. Well, now it's centered. Now go do something. God. I have another friend. I have friends. Some. The devil is always torturing her. I said to her the other day, I'm so glad now he's left the rest of us alone. You see, that's self-importance. Who are you that the devil's going to say, oh, there's one. Oh, come on. She's so important, the devil only tortures her. Of course we get... You know what's amazing, and we can all share this. This is a universal truth. There's negative implants that go through the air. Like I said, doctors can give it to you. Your friends can give it to you. Your loved ones can give it to you. Your kids can kill you with their words, can't they? Oh, one of those. But let me tell you something. Words can mean nothing to feelings if you don't keep yourself protected. And when I get into that spell, I put mirrors around me, reflecting outward. People say, what do you do, build mirrors? No, think of them. Think of mirrors being around you, all in a circle, reflecting out, which means that negativity will come up and face itself. It cannot stand. It cannot stand itself. Good comes up and reflects itself. It will stay. I promise you, it's the most phenomenal thing. Do it when you go to work tomorrow and see who stays away from you. People say, I don't want to white light my enemies. That's who you do white light. Let's be secret white lighters. White light everybody. And especially with the mean ones. Imagine how awful that would be. They want to be mean and you're white lighting them. There is one, though, tape that's given to all of us. To the negativity that comes through the ethers, let's say. Not some mystical, esoteric thing. This is the way the tape goes. What have you done with your life? Probably nothing. Who will care? You've lived and died, worked yourself to death, and nobody cares. Nobody appreciates you. And what's it all been for? Haven't we all had those tapes? Sure we have. And isn't it once in a while marvelous to get up at 3 a.m. and scrub the floor and say to yourself, nobody loves me and they don't even appreciate it. Oh, I love that. And then go to bed. Get over it. I've done that. We've all done it. Working my fingers to the bone. Did you ever wonder what that looked like? When they said, work your fingers to the bone. When I was a little girl, I used to hear my mother say that, and I thought, looks all right to me. When you get one of those, I promise you, you won't be so depressed if you go eject. Eject. Take the tape out. Mentally, take it out. Say, get, go. Like our Lord said, get behind me. This is a negativity that floats through the earth, the world. Of course, I don't know how many of you are mature enough, but we grew up at the Brady Bunch, and everybody walked around with high heels and pearls, didn't they? Have you ever made dinner in high heels and pearls in your life? No, we're usually in there going, I wonder what they want for dinner. Don't let those negative, because you see, despair is really not the devil's workshop, but the darkness that's in the earth, the air. And it gets you, the despair. We have more depression now. We have a Prozac generation, don't we? I'm not against Prozac, but I think every time we get pill, we can't go to sleep. Pill. People say, but I don't sleep. Who cares? Isn't that depressing to sleep? You miss out on everything, but I'll be tired. So you're tired. You'll be tired anyway. People say, I have terrible insomnia. I haven't slept all my life. When I was a baby, they took me to the doctor and said, this baby's going to die. She can't sleep. I didn't know I had insomnia until somebody told me I had it. I sleep about 4 hours a night if I'm lucky. Who cares? I don't want to miss anything. Do you realize that if you're 30 years old, you have been asleep 10 years of your life? Does that depress you? Depresses me. One third of your life is asleep. And now you count the times we spend in the bathroom and getting ourselves ready. We probably have about, and I've always said this to women, with our menopause, our premenopause, our postmenopause, our PMS, we have about 2 weeks out of our life that we feel good. They can't get our hormones right, you know that? They don't know what to do with us. Do you know what Premarin's made out of? A pregnant mare's urine. When you take that pill, I want you to think about that. Not that I don't want you to take it, but just think about that. And you men, I wish to God we had something to give you. Besides a 19-year-old in a sports car when you go through that. Not all men. They're, you know, I love men. God knows I've married enough of them. That's what I say. People say, well, how come you can't get it right? You're psychic. Not about me. I say to people, you lose your... If she loses her purse, I can fight. If I lose mine, it's gone. Please, if you call for reading, don't ask for lottery numbers. I'd win it. You know how they're always saying these psychics call and get the number? And for the lotto, why doesn't the psychic play it? No, you know the worst thing about it is... Let me just unload on you a little bit. It's, you know, I can ventilate, can't I, about my life? Sure I can. I can't walk up to anybody and say, how you doing? I cannot. Because if I walk up to somebody and say, how you doing? They say, you ought to know. Yes. I walked up to this other guy the other day and I said, hi. He said, my name's Jim, but of course you knew that. I said, no, I thought it was asshole. I think they're lucky people that can't hear. Don't you wish sometimes you couldn't hear a lot of crap? That nattering all the time and the noise. You see, there's no such thing as absolute silence, is there? There's no such thing as absolute silence. You hear, don't you? I mean, you hear. There's no such thing as absolute darkness except in your own soul. That's where the darkness is. That's why we have so many suicides. Because despair gets in there. And nobody says to us, gee, you're unique. Gee, you're great. No one in the universe is made exactly like you. Do you realize that? God didn't make another human being like you. Nowhere. And you're just as good as the next person. There's no one that's better. I don't care whether it's the Pope, who it is. Nobody's better. Every life you've probably had a chance to be something. So this life you say, but I haven't done anything. Yes, you have. You got up and moved, didn't you? You got up and lived. There's certain days, haven't you ever had, when you think, what would happen if I just didn't move? What would happen if I just didn't get out of bed? But you do, don't you? And you walk. When I was going through that period where I lost 9 people, I don't remember a lot of it. I think I just got up and moved automatically. We put ourselves on, you know, wind something up and go. And then eventually we come back and live out our life. That's what I said to you in the very beginning of this. We're afraid to live and afraid to die, aren't we? Not all of us, but a lot. If we just looked at life as having a good time, and isn't it hysterically funny? Don't you think life is funny? Don't you know God made a sense of humor? Look at your neighbor. Guy stood up to look at everybody. We're going to have a short meditation, and Robin is going to accompany me. And if you don't want to meditate, then just, you know, play Game Boy or something. People always say, oh, I'm so afraid to meditate because I'll go into another realm. No, you don't. I had somebody tell me, I'm afraid to go, I'll lose control. What? Take off your clothes and run around? What are you going to do? I want you to put your hands upward on your thighs. The only reason in my church, in my belief, we don't pray this way is because we feel that we make a negative circle. So we pray like this. Well, just for tonight, do it just for relaxation, all right? Because even the Bible says that prayer is talking to God, and meditation is hearing God. And I want you, with your hands upward on your thighs, to begin to sit up very straight. And don't loosen anything, because we had that once, and a guy stood up and his pants came down, so don't do that. And I want you to take a really deep breath, because you're going to say, I'm going to start now focusing on my cells. Every cell in my body is going to be in unison. I'm going to heal myself tonight with the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to heal my mind, body, and spirit. I'm going to heal myself to such an extent that I'm going to walk out of here with not only a better feeling in my soul and heart that I'm going to do God's work, but that I'm unique in the eyes of God, that all these things that I've carried with me are going to fall away. I'm going to relax my feet and ankles and calves and knees and thighs and let all the tension begin to just drain out of me. All the negativity that I've carried from past lives, even into this life that has hit that area, let it be released. Moving through the whole pelvic girdle and feeling the quiet peace of that. And that upsurge of healing energy, and speak to those cells in the buttocks area, in the back area. You're now going to see men in and function the way you're supposed to. Any alien cells in my body will immediately snap to. Any bacteria in my body will be rinsed out. I am the commander of my ship. No one else can give me a negative implant. No one can penetrate the hull of this ship. In moving this energy with such thrusting and relaxation and healing all the way up with a Christ consciousness and God's love penetrating all the way up the trunk of my body and in every single organ therein. Healing, bringing God's love inside of me, bringing my own worth inside of me. And almost in a panoramic view, not the bad things, but all the good things I've done from the time that I was a child all the way up, and all the good things that I will do throughout my long, happy, healthy, productive life. I will give my hand. I will give a smile. I will give a kind word and know that I walk with my hand in our Lord's, in God's, that God loves me. God loves me unconditionally. And God can bring about that healing tonight in my lungs, in my heart, in my throat, in my shoulders, down my arms, in my hands, in my fingertips, and bringing it all the way now up to the brain center, the soul center, up through the neck, around the face, around the mouth, the nose, the eyes, and into the brain. And my soul absorbs the love of God. And I know that there are miracles. I can create a miracle. I myself, sitting there, can create a miracle. My hands can project miracles. My love can project wellness. My belief can give hope in darkness. Dear God, I love you. Dear God, I know you love me. I know tonight that I will be healed in mind, in body, in soul, and spirit. And nothing from this moment on will ever, ever allow any negativity to come to me. I will be protected by my mirrors, my lights. My God-centeredness is strong. My intellect and emotion is cemented together. With the love of God, I can breathe easier. The pain is subsiding out of my body, and this is not to ever rule out valid pain, which is a warning signal, but releasing, letting go of all the guilt, the fears, and even past lives that have put in negative implants, even what you don't know, and feeling that we are like this golden strand that's circling through this beautiful audience, that we're all linked together tonight, like gorgeous golden puppet beads. And we're sending our love to the right. And as our love goes to the right, it circles through this whole auditorium so strongly we could probably lift this place up. The beauty of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit that is upon us gives us hope and light and the feeling of conscious righteousness. And never, never again drop that old pain, the chronic pain. And even if you get a pain from this point on, you can release it. Ask the Holy Spirit to reside in your heart for always. Ask that when you finally go, that we'll all go through that tunnel someday, that your exit will be speedy and with dignity. Now, where we relaxed you and surged through, now bring energy right up through the very bottoms of your feet, up through your feet, your ankles, your calves, your knees, your thighs, the buttocks area, all through the trunk, stimulating again, all through the shoulders, the upper arms, the lower arms, the hands, fingertips, up through the neck, all through the face, and even behind the eyes, the last vestiges of any darkness, let it be released. On the count of three, I want you to come out, all the way out, feeling absolutely marvelous. One, two, three. Thank you, dear. See, play beautifully. We're going to answer questions now, and I will try to stay to try to get as many of you in as I can. I always feel so bad because I would like to get to all of you. I do want to say one thing, though. People ask me this all the time. Is Montel as nice as we think he is? He is better. He is better.
This is my first time, so I'm nervous.
Oh, that's all right. I'm the one that should be nervous. You just have to.
I've had a problem with my gastric problem for years, and nobody's been able to find out what's wrong with me.
You have spastic colon. It's a gastritis, whatever. What I'm finding now, which I was going to say too, most people with gastric problems, and you're one of those, you cannot eat dairy. Do you hear me? You can't have one bite of it. No dairy. What you've got is an allergy, and there's a lot of people that have it. And it seems to be to lactose. I don't want to be against the milk company, but some people just can't tolerate it. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand.
No more. That's it. People say, I don't drink milk. No, they eat cheese. And milk chocolate. No, sorry. You don't have Crohn's, dear. You don't have anything like that.
No.
I know you don't. That's what I said. Okay, over here.
Thank you. Hi, Sylvia. My name is Tita Pearl, and I have a question about my son, Kobe. I need to find out if there's any way that I can give him some peace and my household.
You mean because of his behavior?
Right.
You know what I think about ADD or ADHD, don't you? I think it stinks. But anyway, not that some people don't have it, but we're labeling everybody. Yes. You've got to get stronger. You've got to get tougher. It's not just timeout. See, I don't believe in beating a kid up, but what about a spanking?
I spank my kid.
Or a bullwhip helps. You know, my kids are 6'6", 6'7". I was talking to these gentlemen that were with me, and I said, listen to me, my sons, I get up on a chair and I would beat them. You've got to get tougher. That's the only way you're going to bring peace. I'm telling you.
Okay, so that is his problem, is he does have ADD?
No. He has this thing where he knows he can get by with murder with you. He doesn't have ADD. He has smart. He's got you figured out, because you're sweet and kind and loving. I'd show him how sweet and kind and loving I was. You know, I said to my son, I said, I gave you birth, I can take you out.
Hello.
Yeah.
He said the same thing to me.
Scare them a little bit. That's what's wrong with us. Don't hurt the child. Don't hit the child. You'll hurt their libido. Their libido does not reside in their butt. Never has. All right. Yes.
The only thing I can think of to ask is, am I going to get well enough that I'll ever be able to live on my own without having to live with someone?
Let me ask you a very strange thing, and then I'll answer your question. Do you want to?
Yes.
You would anyway. In 2 years. In 2 years. I knew you did, but I want to hear you say it. I said to this friend of mine, do you want to die of cancer? Do you know it took him a good 5 minutes to answer me? And he died. No, he couldn't make up his mind. See, when you nail somebody, do you want to die? Do you want to be sick? No, I know she doesn't, but I want to hear her say it to me. All right, let's go over here.
Hi, Sylvia.
Yes, dear.
Brenda Coberly.
Yes.
And my question's kind of general. I have a problem getting over the feelings of guilt and unworthiness in order to go on in life.
I know. I don't think that's general, honey. I think that's very specific. And it really is a tough thing to keep fighting that. But what you do for every time that you have that guilt feeling and unworthiness that washes over you, knock it down. Don't let it get a hold of you. Say, yes, I am. I am good enough. And once you keep confirming that, you see what I mean? Because usually when that washes, you see what I'm saying? And of course you're worthy enough. That comes from the abuse. It does. But of course you're worthy enough. And you're going to feel that by this time next year, you're so much better, honestly.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Here we go. Oh, upstairs. Okay, where are we upstairs? I see you. I see you.
Hi, Sylvia.
Uh-huh.
My husband's moving his business to a new area, and I was wondering how that's going to go for us.
Well, for one thing, it's going to be really good because you've got better walk-by or visible traffic, as we say. And also, it looks like it's expanding.
Okay.
So that's really great. He's got 2 months to be a little wobbly, but so what? That's still going to be accelerated.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, over here.
Hi, Sylvia. I'd like to know if my relationship with my husband's going to get better.
No. No, I don't mean to be mean and hateful. I don't like that. But you know, Montel always says, and I should have said that, don't ask me if you don't want to know. See, I don't know, and it's not that he's mean or hateful, but you're like oil and water, you don't mix. Is that enough to not be with somebody? Yes. I don't like to see people break up. I think that's what's wrong. We have too many breakups, but we don't have enough, let's say, real breakups that are fruitful for us. When we realize that we have to go on, then you've got to go on.
Have I found somebody?
Yeah, a sandy-haired guy with blue eyes. I know you found somebody.
Can't fool me. People have tried. Doesn't work too well. Maybe for about 3 seconds. Yes.
Sylvia, I think I've been abused from my son for about 15 years. I guess it's drugs, alcohol. I would like to know if there's any change in the future.
No, but you've got to stop being abused by that nightmare. No. Just because you see we have a child doesn't mean because we're mothers that we got to be on the rack. You know what our Lord said? Shake the dust off your feet and walk away. He doesn't deserve to have you as a mother. Fed up with these kids abusing their parents. Aren't you? It used to be, you know, that, oh, we were all abused by, you know, all the kids were abused. Well, what about kids turning around and abusing us? Hell with them. Come on.
Hi, Sylvia.
Yes, darling. I'll be up there in a minute. Don't get frantic.
About 15 years ago, my aunt died in a murder in Mira Mesa, and I know my mom wants to know whether the right person was put in jail. And
was this a dark-haired guy, broad features, heavy-lipped?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the right person. Was your aunt small, little person?
Not real little, about medium.
What do you see? I'm 5'9". Was she about 5'3", 5'4"?
I think so.
Why do you look
too
over
young? To my mom.
Then let her talk, because she knows what she looks like. Oval face, small eyes. Was she 5'2", 5'3"? No, that's not the one. There's a little woman around you. 5'3", maybe 5'4". Prominent nose, round-faced, older, much older. That comes as a spokesperson. Do you know who that is? Where's the who's the spokesperson over here? Do you know who that is? The little person, 5'3", 5'4".
Sorry.
Was Grandma small? Did she have a large nose? Did she have a round face and small eyes? Nobody knows what their family looks like in this group. All right, well, anyway, they've got the right person in jail.
Thank you.
Don't you love it? I don't know who anybody is. Okay, up. Yes, you, dear.
Hi, my name's Beth Mayette, and I'm wondering if there's going to be someone in my life, and how am I going to know it for sure?
You have got someone in your... You will have someone in your life in 2 years and 3 months. How you will know it is, he will have receding hairline, gray on the sides of his hair. He has very sharp chin, sharp nose, high cheekbone, sharp, very nice looking. He's got sort of tipped out ears at the top. He's got heavy eyebrows, and he stands about 5'11 and a half.
Okay. Thank you.
And then they say, but how will I know him? Yes.
I would like to know if my son's murder will ever be solved.
Yes. Do you know that it was 3 people?
I had a suspicion, but I didn't know.
Did you know there was a girl involved, too?
No.
Blonde girl.
Blonde?
Blonde. As blonde as you are, and I am. Uh-huh. Very thin, very reedy looking, bad complexion. There was a guy, also very thin, wore his hair about to this length. Parted in the middle, greasy looking. Other guy, a little bit light too, but wore his hair back in some kind of a braid or a ponytail. Always was walking around biting his nails.
It doesn't strike a bell.
Well, of course not, honey, because you don't know who killed him.
Well, that's true.
Would you tell anybody who's investigating this that there is somebody by the name of Ralph and somebody by the name of Carl.
Ralph.
And Carl. Okay.
What about the female?
And the female's name was Sandy. All right?
I'll do that.
No, it's 3 people involved, I'm telling you. But he comes around you all the time.
I feel him.
What was the thing that he always did? Now, I told you the other one bit his nail, but when he was nervous, he did like me. He put his thumbnail or something in his mouth.
May have, but I don't think so. I don't recall him ever doing that.
And he said that he also had a problem with his stomach.
Yes.
He also says that, now here we go with the animal. Who's the large dog? What's the large dog with him?
Well, that could be Henry, but Henry's not so large.
This is a large dog. I have a Yorkie. That's a little dog.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would be Henry.
Because there's a dog with him.
The dog died about 3 weeks after his funeral. He just didn't want to live anymore.
Because that's right. The dog went with him. Right. Who is Tom? Who is Tom?
Tom. I don't.
He says he's with a Tom, so ask somebody in the family, all right?
Not with Phil.
Tom. Ask about Tom, all right?
Okay, I will. Do I have much longer to wait? It's been so long.
No. If you please. Because, you see, homicide is never closed.
Right.
Go to somebody and tell them.
I will.
All right? There's no statutes of limitations on homicide. You know that.
I know.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hi. My name is Shannon. My brother got in trouble a couple years ago, and I was wondering when he's going to come home and if we're going to be able to help him when he gets home, like financially. And
I know, job. I know, honey. You don't have to say anymore. You know the problem with your brother, though. Bless his heart. You know, he always went to the lowest level trying to help all the trash. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's what we call getting taken down the primrose path. He's not a bad person. He will, though, but you realize it's going to be at least a year and a half before you can do anything as far as rehabilitation or anything.
Yeah, he's in there, he's sentenced to 25 to life.
No, there's going to be an appeal in a year and a half.
Okay, thank you.
But this looks like also that there was something that had to do with drugs.
Yes.
Yes.
It helped towards it. But are we going to be able to help him financially? And
yeah, because somebody's going to appeal, going to open this up.
I mean, like, in life. Like.
That's what I just said, honey, in about a year and a half. You can break this, get him out, and then rehab him.
Okay, thank you.
All right? Yes.
Hi, my name is Jennifer. My mom hasn't been very happy throughout her life, and I was just wondering if she was ever going to be happy.
Have you ever heard of the theme of martyr? That's not to knock your mother, but some of us have taken the theme of martyr in this life. And there's nothing you can do about that. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, you can bring in dancing bears and whatever, and it's not going to work. See, the thing you've got to understand is some people like to be martyred.
I think she does.
Oh, absolutely. I know she does. So let her. See, the only problem with a martyr is they can only hang one hand up. Don't you put the other one up for her, all right? Okay.
Hi. I'd just like to know if my wonderful husband is okay and if he's around me.
What was wrong with his blood? He said something about his blood.
Yeah, when he had a heart attack when he died.
No.
But he did have problems with his blood.
Yeah, I know what the cause of death is because, you know, it's like this other whatever. You know, this only can be disintegration or blood. But he says his blood was turning on him.
Yes.
Right. Which is much more specific. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Marvelous. He's doing wonderfully well. He also comes around you, I don't know why, at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I feel him all the time, so I'm not sure.
But he also does something with clocks.
Well, that's possible.
Yeah, so be aware of alarms or clocks or stopping or whatever. Do you see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't mean he's not around you through the day, but that's as strong as you'll feel him is at night.
Wonderful.
9. Bless his heart. He didn't want to go, though. You know that, don't you?
I know that.
No, he didn't. He fought like a...
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hi. My mom died suddenly about 4 years ago,
and it was natural, but can you tell me...
Well, honey, it was an aneurysm, so I don't know how natural that is.
Oh, it was.
I know.
And is she... oh, thank you. Is she around me at all? Mm-hmm. Do you ever see her?
Yeah. Your mother had a very strange thing that she used to do, too. Everybody has a pretty face, but your mother had sort of a long oval face. But mm-hmm. she had this thing that she did when she was nervous. She would do something with her nose, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
She
it was
did.
A thing she did. She's still doing it. So she must be nervous for you. But she's doing something with flowers on the other side. Flowers and gardens.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I think I want to go over there and do gardening and an animal in a garden or something. Yeah.
I'm wondering if they're ever going to get through with this Clinton thing.
Oh. I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, my whole family has always been Republican, and they're probably rolling over in their graves. If you know, I used to say, I am so fed up. Why don't we just pay attention to what the man's done? Do we really care who he screwed? I don't care. I don't care. Do you know what's going to happen? This is a psychic prediction now. They're going to find a big, big, fat skeleton in Kenneth Starr's closet. They will. You're going to see by the end of the year, they're going to have this, you know. And besides, if Hillary likes it, who cares? You know what my guide told me? And you can take this or leave it. She said they used to be brother and sister in a past life. So that's why she did. I can see that. But I don't know which one's a brother and which one's a sister. Oh, God. The older you get, the worse you get. You know that. That's no help for you. Yes, yes, dear.
I want to know if I'll ever have another baby.
Yes, a boy.
Do you know when?
You should get pregnant, or will get pregnant, I should say, around November. But you also have a problem with your... No, no, it's your left. Your left ovary. Okay. But that's okay. Your right one's working.
Should I take anything or just let it...
Just let it happen. But I would start taking some kelp.
Okay.
You know, because your thyroid needs a little bit of a boost.
All right. Thank
you. All right. Are we up here? Up there? Any place? No. All right. Then we'll come back here. Yes, sir.
Hi, Sylvia. I watch you on Montel. very good show.
Thank you. He makes a show. Please,
yeah,
he does.
He's great. Also, they have a new watchword in the White House, and it's called bitch. Stands for Bill's in trouble, call Hillary.
I love that. I'm going to use it. Can I use that?
Yeah.
All right. It's in trouble, call Hillary. All right.
Seriously, last year I was diagnosed with cancer, and the doctors treated it, and I just want to know if they got it or if it's going to
yes.
come back.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Are you taking zinc for your prostate area?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Hytrin.
Good for you.
It's just Hytrin medication to make you urinate.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're clean as a whistle, honey. You're not okay. going to let that come back. You don't want it.
No, I don't want it. Thank you.
Yes, next.
Hi, Sylvia.
Yes, dear.
I'm with a group of six, and I'm here kind of under false pretenses in that it wasn't my ticket, but the other person didn't want to come.
That's all right, honey. So, it doesn't make any difference. I can read through you to them.
Okay. So I have this dream to be 100, to live to be 100, and I just want to know, am I on the right path?
You'll live to be 102.
Oh, thank you.
And then you'll be done with it, okay?
Pardon? A what?
Then you'll be done with it, all right?
That'll be fine.
Yes.
Also, I'm undecided as to whether I should retire now or not because I still like my job.
No, you don't want to retire.
Okay. See?
Is it cheesy? Wish all my readers were like it. Okay. No, I hate that word retire. In the middle of the word is tire. Yes. Will you look at these people with the placards? Sylvia, is my career in, what does that say?
I'm pursuing.
Yeah, as long as you're in media work. Like a prompter girl or something. Yeah. No. No, I mean media, really. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hi, Sylvia.
Yes, dear.
A year, or last year on March 18th, my wife suffered a disability stroke.
Yes.
She's had to learn to talk over and over again, and I wonder what the prognosis is of her complete recovery.
95%. She has the same thing as Patricia Neal had. You know, you remember Patricia Neal, the actress? But see, what's so good about you is you've been working with her and making sure that everything... Oh, yes, she will.
Thank you.
Yes, over here. Hi, yes, dear.
Do you see any kind of evil presence that has followed me around? It sounds kind of weird, but I feel like...
No, it's not a crazy thing to follow you around because there is such a thing as a people haunting, but you don't have that. But there is an older man who passed over very quickly that has not made it to the other side. So what I want you to do is I want you to go... When you go home tonight, light a candle and say, Edward, well, of course, he can hear us, go to the light. See, because sometimes when we're psychic and spiritual, souls will come to us to be released. All right? Yes. Oh, up here. Okay, up here.
My daughter's been sick for a year and a half, and I want to know if the doctors are doing everything they're supposed to do.
Are you checking into her neurological system?
Yes.
Okay, because it's in the neurological part of the brain in the back, in the cerebral cortex.
And is the shunt going to work?
Sure, that's where the cerebral cortex is. That's where it goes in, isn't it?
No, she has it in her back.
Mm-mm, they got to put it in through this way.
Okay. Thanks.
All right.
Good evening.
Yes, dear.
Hi, Sylvia. I'd like to know what you see.
Lots of things. Give me a subject, though, honey. Because I mean,
myself. You can focus on me.
No, but honey, give me a category. Or otherwise, we're going to get into a 45-minute reading.
That'll be good.
No, they'll kill you.
All right. Category. Career.
It looks like you're going to be doing something in administrative work.
Oh. Can I go... Okay, can I jump to romance then?
No, you're going to be doing administrative work and you're going to be telling other people what to do within a work situation.
Well, I do that, so I was hoping for something different.
How would I know you did that? Okay, next. No, your personal life is lousy, and it won't get better until this summer. It will not get better until this summer. Okay, yes.
Thank you.
My mother passed away 12 years ago. Can you tell me if it was natural causes?
Yes, it was, dear. That was in the chest, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it was.
Is she happy?
Absolutely happy. And she's not going to come back either, which makes it nice. When you get over there, you'll see her.
Thank you.
All right. Next. Anybody? All right. God love you. God bless you. All right. Bye-bye.
This has been a Hay House audiobook production.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.